there! You are listening to the Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio, 88.5 and 100.7 FM, and streaming at KMUZ.org. This is where Marion and Polk Soil and Water Conservation Districts and OSU Small Farms Program shine a light on partnerships and programs that conserve our beautiful natural resources in the Willamette Valley. We're illuminating our collective mission of conserving soil, water, and natural resources for urban and agricultural audiences in the Willamette Valley.
I am your host, Haley White, Small Farms Outreach Coordinator with OSU Extension and the Polk Soil and Water Conservation District. On this episode, we are talking with Perla Garcia Villegas, the Farm and Garden Education Coordinator with the Marion Polk Food Share Youth Farm. The Youth Farm is located on the campus of Chemeketa Community College in Northeast Salem and features an urban farm and educational site for engaging young people in farming for the community. Today, we will talk with Perla about the farm, local food systems, and her work. Without further ado, I'd like to extend a warm welcome to Perla Garcia Villegas. I guess to start, could you tell us a little bit more about the Marion Polk Food Share Youth Farm?
Yeah, so the Youth Farm is a part of the Marion Polk Food Share, which is a local nonprofit, and they supply a lot of food to the local community through a bunch of different avenues. I could not name you all of them that they have. We happen to be the Youth Farm, and that's just a six-acre farm, like you said, located on the Chemeketa campus. And every summer we run a youth program, which is for teenagers ages 13 through 18. And they just come and help out with the seeding, the planting, the weeding especially. That's never ending. But the most exciting part for them and for us usually is the distribution part, because they get to actually head out with the, our coordinator. And so they get to meet all the people that they've been growing food for and get to at least have a small, like, if it's not a hello and they have a few more minutes to talk, usually they end up saying, like, why are you here? Like, why is there a teenager here? And they go, like, oh, but, like, I grew some of this stuff. And they go into explaining, you know, what they grew, what the process was like, and, you know, like, why they're doing it. And community members are always, like, cool to see that, like, teenagers are actually being proactive about stuff that they like.
Sure. Yeah, I feel like teenagers definitely get a bad rap. Which
oh, my gosh, all the time. And I've told a few of them before, I'm like, you guys are always in, like, a negative spotlight, it seems. I'm like, here is your chance to shine as bright as you can with the positive. I'm like, be, like, as good as you can be.
Do they come from all over Salem, different high schools or one high
school?
Yeah,
even from the outside the Salem area. So a lot of them do come from the Salem-Keizer public schools. But we also have a lot of applicants this year who are homeschooled. A lot of them are actually coming from, like, Sublimity area, Staten area, Dallas area as well. So it's kind of expanded. Our network has a lot of outreach to different organizations. In previous years, we would reach out to, like, 50 youth over the summer, and then from there we would get our remaining 30 that would stay with us for the rest of the summer. We were like, we want to reach more people. It seems like we were going for a smaller goal, and we're like, no, let's, I think we could do more.
Well, that is exciting. So yeah. You mentioned distribution centers.
Yes.
Where does the food go?
So from the youth farm, we have three different locations. So one is Lancaster Family Clinic next to Dick's Sporting Goods. We do a lot of distributions through there. And this year, we're actually including some mobile distributions. Not every single patient can make it there every week. Sometimes it gets difficult. Not everyone has reliable transportation. So we've managed to work it into a different mobile distribution system that we have at the food share. So they're going to be, I think, about 50% of the distributions from Lancaster are going to be mobile. So that's one location. The second one is Northwest Human Services in West Salem. They are awesome. Working with them is great. And then also the community of Grand Ronde. So that's a little bit more of a drive for us, but we do it because Grand Ronde is pretty isolated when it comes to food, technically a food desert, which means that they don't have a major grocery store within their city limits, if you will. I think the closest one would be like Safeway in Dallas, and even then that's a drive. So we help them out every week during the summer by taking some fresh food and, again, saying hi, saying what's up, seeing people that we see every week and kind of maintaining those relationships for sure.
I guess I didn't think about that. That, yeah, really is isolating.
Yeah, I think there's in Grand Ronde, once you get past the casino, you actually get into the community of it. There's a right-hand turn that takes you down that main road. And at the corner of that main road is like a little mini mart, and that's pretty much it for the community. They definitely ask us for help, and we love supporting them in any way that we can. And the kids love having the drive out there too.
Now, these just distribution centers, is it through the food bank program? Can it be anybody who comes? Do you need to be signed up?
So it depends on the clinic. Usually I do have a sign up. So as long as you go to the clinic and let them know that you would like to be a part of their food share program, they'll know exactly what you're talking about and we'll get you signed up. So we don't discriminate in the clinic zone either on like who you are, how much you make. It's just if you need it and you tell me you need the help, we got it here for you. It's a huge benefit because a lot of people don't like sharing kind of where they're at sometimes. So you're like, I don't care. You don't even have to tell me about it. Like if you just want some fresh kohlrabi or some carrots, like it's here. Take sure. it. And we usually have like recipes too. So we get a chance to talk to people.
Why are local food systems so important and how does the youth farm help to connect people? And you just mentioned a little bit about that,
yeah.
having the youth go out to these communities mm-hmm. and meeting people at the centers. But what other ways?
So yeah, our community gardens is a huge one. We have a network of over 55 gardens. You name it, people are there. Like it doesn't matter what community, what type of group you think of, people are in those community gardens because it's composed of the community. So you get a lot of mishmash of cultures and people being like, what are you growing over there? And you're like, it's this. And they're like, I've never tried it. How do you eat it? How do you prepare it? All that. So it's a lot of fun seeing people interact in that way. And that's super important just because there seems to be a lot of pressure through major media that like there's a lot of disconnect and we tend to see the opposite, which is really, I guess, reassuring because not to always see like the negative side of everything. You're seeing your community works together. So there's a space, you know, that you all commonly agree to like, all right, we're all going to take care of this spot. We're all going to try to keep it relatively clean and weed free so that we don't get weeds in our plots. But you get to see old people work with really young people like teenagers, but then also you have like little kids visiting with their family. So it's really important for them to make that connection to see like, all right, my community isn't as disconnected as what can seem like non-existent. Like you just live in a neighborhood, but outside of that, it's like, it's not much going on here. And people who are part of these gardens tend to tell us like, it's great to see like my neighbors who live a few blocks down that I don't immediately see all the time, but I know that they're doing great. I'm like hearing about them, their kids, their pets. Seeing the connections is really great. But for us with the community gardens as well, as we also take the youth out there. So there's a lot of youth who haven't seen, for example, if you live in Northeast Salem, they haven't really ever been to West Salem all that much, if ever. And so they get to see the gardens over there and they get a different perspective on a lot of ideas that I usually get passed around with like, oh, depending where you live in Salem, like certain areas are nicer. And of course, that's like any place that you live, but kind of seeing like, all right, it's not like that much of a disconnect. This is just a different part of town and they have the same issues. A lot of people want to grow stuff and they either live in apartments or like what they got at home is too shady or whatever it is. And seeing them come together in the garden, having the youth see that for themselves, for them making those connections is for sure really important. But the other side of that with it, like why is it so important just in general? It's just we've noticed and the youth notice it too and point it out all the time. A lot of people don't know much about their food. Like outside of the grocery store, you don't really have any connection to it. You don't recognize it. So if you were to say like, point out the difference between a broccoli plant and a kale plant, well, they're in the same family, but the teenagers that we work with can be like this and this and this. And if you look at the leaf and if you look at that, how it comes out of the ground, for a lot of them, them being the youth, they would rather have a personal connection with their food. They like seeing like how it comes out of the ground, how a seed goes in the ground, turns into another small plant that grows into an even bigger plant that they didn't even like realize that that's what it looked like. They see it for the first time. They're like, what the heck? I didn't realize that this is how it grew. And so you get into this whole explanation of like, yeah, a lot of plants in this general family grow like this. And then they get their veggies and they're like, okay, now what? And it's like, well, now you get to get into like seed saving stuff. And so they're like, cool, what's seed saving? Because a lot of them have never done it. It's not taught in schools regularly anymore. So a lot of things that we're touching on the farm are things that they're very curious about, but in school, there's just not the time or the curriculum doesn't fit. So their questions are very much personal. And I'd rather tell you as a very casual like thing while we're out here and interacting with it than me standing up in front of a whiteboard. For them, it's really important to learn about that. But for us, it's also important for them to see and have the opportunities to see that because, again, they're asking for it, but most public school systems can't immediately give that up. Funding is always the main thing there. But
Right. It's an educational farm.
It is. So yeah. It's all education. Yeah. They do get a stipend, which is nice. It's $1,000 or $2,000 if you're a crew leader. But by the end of the summer, you end up seeing like money. The money's nice for sure because they get to buy themselves things for like school for later on. But a lot of them aren't really motivated by the money anymore. It's very much like, I enjoy being with my friends, doing something that is actually positive for the community. I get to work out a little bit, which they do, and they do get stronger. You lift heavy totes all day, you're going to get strong. Some of them like getting a tan.
I've always enjoyed any time where while I was in school or working on farms, just being outside with other people, you get really connected.
Oh, yeah. Sitting in a classroom next to your friend is totally different than like being outside and trying to find watermelons together, covered in leaves.
Those sound like great experiences.
Yeah.
Now, more about you. So what is your farming journey? How did you get into farming? Did you think you would be farming? And what also led you to youth education?
Man, my farming story is, like, very stereotypical. I always grew up being, like, an outdoorsy kid. It was like, I'd rather be outside than inside. Of course, some video games would come out. You're like, oh, that's kind of cool. But then you finish the game, you're like, cool, back outside. For me, I always found it interesting because it's like there's always something to look at, whether you're looking at the ground looking for worms and bugs or you're looking at like that tree looks way different than that tree. Why does that happen? Or looking at different flowers and we're like, well, your flowers are completely different, but you guys look the same from afar. Like, what the heck is that? So for me, just always visually having something to be curious about. And then, of course, you grow up, you look into things and you're like, oh, my gosh, things are really complicated. Nothing is simple. Again, the curiosity like spiked up again. I was like, okay. What do I really want to focus in on? So I focused in on plants, of course. I got my degree in horticulture from Chemeketa. And during that time is when I met Jared, who hired me onto the youth farm staff. So he ended up reaching back out and saying, like, hey, I met you. You were great. I thought that you would be a really good fit for the, you know, for the staff team that we have here at the youth farm. So if you want, here's this position. I think you should apply. And I did. Got the position. And since then, it's just I've enjoyed teaching. I didn't realize that that's what I was going to do, but I did. I guess it might be in my family blood, if you can think of it that way. My grandfather's a farmer, and he would often travel between the U.S. and Mexico for his farm business. I definitely have my own passion for it, for sure. No one else in my family is very, you know, they're not as into the farming world as I am. Like, I was always interested in it from when I was a kid. So when people ask me, like, do you always think you're going to be a farmer growing up? I definitely didn't think about it, but looking back, I was like, there's no way that that wasn't going to happen, like, or at least something outdoor related. I was just always outside, so.
What kinds of produce are grown at the farm?
All kinds. So every type of veggie that you can think of in a grocery store, we probably grow it, if it's possible to grow here. Granted, stuff like ginger usually requires a more tropical climate, so we've tried growing that in our hoop house before, and it kind of worked in some spots of the bed. Other spots were not so great, so, you know, we grow potatoes, tomatoes, onions, squash, cucumbers, winter squash, kale, you know, all your salad greens, we grow it. And then even some that you don't find at the grocery store. So sometimes you can buy certain seed mixes. So we have a lot of Asian green mixes that we grow. We've been getting more into the Asian greens in the last couple of years, and people tend to like it. So we're going to keep doing it. Variety-wise, even within the types of produce that you're growing, it's like your Lacinato kale, definitely have it. Dazzling Blue, definitely have grown it. I don't know if we have it this year. We've also been putting some fruits into our CSAs. So we teamed up with Peachwood Orchards out in Hood River last year. We're teaming up with them again this year to get everyone in our CSA a case of peaches, which is amazing because it's very rare for you to find organic peaches that are like prime in season.
I can verify that. Yes. I was lucky enough. Ooh. We had our farmers market booth next to the Marion Polk Food Share Youth Farms booth last year, and you had an extra peach that you guys gave me, and it was probably the best peach I've ever had.
They were so delicious.
Now, real quick, you mentioned that you cook lunches on site. Yes. So they're growing the food. Are they also learning to cook the food and using recipes?
Oh, yeah. So I guess the beautiful thing about this program is that it doesn't just end at where the distribution starts. So it's not like we load up the truck and we see it drive off. We're like, okay, bye. Never see you again. Every day that they are there, the lunch is prepared on site using ingredients from the farm. And often it's like harvested that morning. Like, we'll send them like, okay, I need you to go get leeks like right now. And then they go get leeks or whatever it is. And they come in and immediately gets cleaned, put on a chopping board, processed, and get put into the recipe for lunch, whatever it is. So you have a lot of teenagers who are really into cooking, and it's great because they kind of help out the ones who are not so confident. There's a lot of kids who would be like, I've never cooked before. Don't worry about it. I will teach you. They see literally the food from start to finish. Seed goes in, baby plant becomes a bigger plant. You get your veggie, you get to eat it, and then they also get to do the cleanup in the field of pulling the plants out of the ground. So it's a very valuable thing for them to learn. It's a lot of fun. You get to see a lot of recipes. A lot of them, they think that aren't going to be great, and then they're being amazing, and then they get this huge confidence boost, and all of a sudden, they're starting to beg you to be in the kitchen, and you're like, I knew it. This is all you. You just need a little bit of encouragement. So
that's a really cool experience.
Okay. Yeah.
A quick update, if you're just joining us, I'm here with Perla Garcia Villegas, Farm and Garden Education Coordinator with the Marion Polk Food Share Youth Farm in Salem. And you're listening to the Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio. What is the most unique food that has been grown at the farm? And you mentioned garlic, which is, or not garlic, ginger, which is pretty unique. What are some others? Or?
The ginger is probably up there. That one was more of an experiment where, like, what we learned is, yes, it just takes a little bit more heat than we thought. So we're trying to, you know, adjust our timing there and see if we can get another ginger bulb. I was doing some bed prep in there, and my coworker Stephanie and I found a ginger bulb that we hadn't picked out. So we're like, grab that. We need to save it because it was huge. And we're like, no, we need that one for this year. So ginger is up there. A lot of the Asian greens. The one weird one, okra. So we, Jared being from Texas, he was like, we should grow some okra. So we did. And a lot of kids hadn't tried it. So we're like, we should definitely just show them what it is because they're going to encounter it at some point. It's a tough one to not necessarily grow, but I guess harvest, because I don't know if you ever harvested okra, no? So you gotta time it right on the money. There's a point where it becomes too, like, fibrous, and you go to chew into it, and you're like, oh my gosh, it's like I'm chewing through, like, fiberglass or something. It's just, like, stringy. If you get it too early, it's like not enough okra in one bite. So you gotta get it before it gets to that stringy stage, but there's no visual cue. So you are literally going in there and being like, all right, like, last time I picked okra was, like, last week, like, all right, the next ones that were coming on should be right at that point where they're not quite mature. So you're going around and you're feeling to see how firm the outer casing of the okra is, and it just takes a time. And when you run into CSA with 30 kids, sometimes time isn't on your side. So you're like, all right, sorry, okra, you're going to be overgrown this week or whatever it is. So I think that one would be just like the rare one for the sense that the kids had, most of them had not seen it before. So to them, it was like completely new. And that was rare for them. And then also just the preparation of it. A lot of them, again, not having experience with okra, like, how the heck do you cook it? So everything seemed mysterious about the okra. And then Jared was like, don't worry, I'm from Texas. I gotcha. I'll show you how it's done. So it was delicious. I'm definitely going to try to grow okra at home.
Now, you mentioned Jared a few times.
Yes.
Jared who? For people who may not be familiar on the
radio. So his full name is Jared Swanson. But Jared, he was the program manager for the youth farm. He recently stepped down from that job and accepted a different job with OSU Extension. So we'll still be working with Jared for sure, just in a totally different capacity.
Sure.
This year, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, he's very involved.
So yeah. Yeah.
With the process.
For sure.
What do you enjoy most about farming and then also the work that you do with the youth farm?
What I enjoy the most, honestly, is like producing quality food is really just awesome for me. Growing up, I guess, on the insecure side of the food scale, I would often see like foods that were donated and you're like, man, like I'm kind of getting like the butt end of the stick here. Like, yeah, we appreciate the help and of course you accept it, but it's like sometimes I wish I could have better foods, higher quality foods, so that, you know, I'm not always running on food that wasn't at its prime. So getting to be in the position that I am now where I can get to produce food organically and it's high quality, oftentimes better than what you get at the grocery store. The program gives it out to people who really honestly need it and can't afford to go to the store and get, you know, food from the organic section. So that's probably my favorite part. But on the other side of that, with, again, surprise to me, was the teaching of it. I didn't realize that me teaching it was going to be nearly as much fun as it was. I thought it was just going to be very much like, I'll just say what I got to say, and if they accept it, they do. If they don't, they don't. Because that's kind of what I remember from like public school situations, like teacher talks, and if you remember it, you remember it. So getting to teach it to younger generation is definitely my favorite part. But I mean, that also helps out that they are interested in it. Like, there's a difference between teaching someone who wants to learn what you got to say versus someone who's just like there to kind of listen. So having them be very involved with questions and being like genuinely curious about, you know, why is this plant growing like this when like down the row the rest of them are doing this, and you're like, well, let's see if that one's got disease, and then all of a sudden they're asking you about biology and like how diseases spread and how germs spread, and then they start talking about themselves like, oh my gosh, so like when you get the flu, and like they start to get all these pieces put together, so you're like, cool, I don't think you would have got that anywhere else.
It's pretty exciting to see when people are like figuring out a concept that they hadn't understood before.
Yeah, like watching, literally, it's people would always say like, you get to see the light bulb turn on, and I never got what people meant when they were saying that until I saw it happen. I'm like, oh no, it's literally like watching your face just like go like, whoa.
Do you have any advice you'd like to share for anyone thinking about getting into farming?
If you think about getting into it, get into it. We're in a time in the world right now where we need a lot of new farmers coming on. A lot of farmers that exist right now are getting older and they get into the retirement age and they don't know who to pass things on to. Farming is generally put in the spotlight where it's like a lot of hard work all the time and everything's super large scale, and that can be very intimidating. But small scale farming definitely exists. It's just as effective and successful. And a lot of people are asking for more local food. So if you're thinking about it, heck, just even grow like one variety in your front garden bed and sell that for a year and like to see if that's really what you want to do. That's what I did 1 year.
What did you sell?
I had a lot of tomatillo plants that year, and a lot of people in my neighborhood love to eat like Latin food, Mexican food. So it went real easy. My house is in front of the mailboxes too. So it worked out. And so now people like still come to me during this time of year and like, what do you got?
That's good marketing.
It works out.
Where people have to walk right by it. That's also just more of that neighborhood connection.
Yeah.
On this, you know, you mentioned community gardens. It's within your own neighborhood.
And I'm not the only person who does that in my neighborhood anymore. Like, we had people who had moved in over the years who, like, saw me do that, and they have the garden space too, and they jumped on board. So my neighbor across the street and, like, I think two or three houses down, every spring and summer puts out, like, a little shade tent and, like, an extra fold-out table that they got. And whatever extra produce that they're not going to eat that week or that day, they put out on the table, and it goes.
Not just local, but hyper-local.
Oh, yeah.
Across your
this
street.
This is literally, like, in my neighborhood, within walking distance.
So you mentioned, you know, there's these distribution boxes, but you don't sell to the public. So how can our community support the Marion Polk Food Share Youth Farm?
Yeah, so you can always, there's always the monetary donations. That's always the one that people tend to think of. But really, for our youth program, I think the best way is just, like, come visit. We are always happy to give tours. I don't recommend the wet season because for you, it's just really mucky outside. I can handle it. I work there all the time. But you might not want to. So we always encourage people to come visit. Me talking about it can only give you so much of a scope of what we do. When you go out there and visit, you're like, okay, well, like, this is an actual farm. A lot of people are surprised. It's like, this is literally like right off of Silverton Road in Lancaster. How the heck is there a farm like right there? Like, I don't know. We just got to make it happen. So we always encourage people to come visit, and then we also have volunteer events. So this year we've been trying to do it monthly, and we are doing these farm volunteer days every month, or we're trying to, where we just open it up to the community. We send out an email blast to whoever we can, whoever we have on our contact list, but we also encourage people to share it through word of mouth and through flyers and all that, through social media, and we just let them know, like, hey, from, you know, these hours, the youth farm is open to whoever wants to come volunteer. And so a lot of people our volunteers regularly, like, over at the warehouse for the food share, but they've never been to the youth farm, and they show up, and the questions start, like, what the heck? Why is there a farm out here? What do you do? How do you get the food? How does this all work? How the heck do you make teenagers work? Like, how does that happen?
It's pretty amazing.
It
I've
is.
Been out just a few times for a short time,
yeah.
But what you can do and produce
oh
in just a short amount. I mean, was it kohlrabi?
Oh my god! Yeah, we grow a lot of kohlrabi.
Oh my gosh!
And a lot of people don't know what kohlrabi is until
right.
You let them know. Like, this is, if you want to think about it, this way, it's just broccoli's cousin. Like, if you don't like the flowery part of the broccoli, but you enjoy chewing on the stem, this is what you got. It's also really great shredded and in salads. That's my favorite way to do it.
Yeah. Good tip.
I
need to try that.
Yes.
For getting onto this email list or being in contact, what's the best way for them to stay informed?
If you go onto the Marion Polk Food Share website, that's just marionpolkfoodshare.org. There's a tab that's for volunteers, and you can get a sign-up form there, and you'll get all types of connections for, you know, volunteer opportunities at the warehouse, outside of the warehouse, community gardens, the youth farm.
Perfect. And this is our last question.
Okay.
It's one we always ask.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't really relate to this topic necessarily,
that's fine.
But it's a fun one to throw in. Perla, what is your favorite Oregon critter and your favorite outdoor space?
Okay. favorite Oregon critter is a bobcat. I just think they're so adorable. I know that they can be very dangerous, and I don't approach them if I see them. And I think for my favorite outdoor space is definitely the Coos Bay area with the dunes. Something about the dunes constantly changing, and you're like, oh my gosh, like nothing, none of this is permanent, even for a day.
Well, Perla, I have thoroughly enjoyed our time together, hearing more about the Miriam Polk Food Share Youth Farm and how you and local youth are working to strengthen our community food system. Thank you for taking the time to talk with me and sharing more about the program, and we all wish you a successful growing season at the farm.
Thank you, thank you. It was a pleasure being here.
I've been talking with Perla Garcia-Villegas, Farm and Garden Education Coordinator with the Marion Polk Food Share Youth Farm in Salem. And I'm your host, Haley White, Small Farms Outreach Coordinator with OSU Extension and Polk Soil and Water Conservation District. Thank you for taking a few minutes to share the light with us. We are grateful for a community of conservation-minded folks who know the importance of partnerships. If you would like more information on this topic, please visit our websites, extension.oregonstate.edu or polkswcd.com, and our Facebook pages for follow-up information. If you liked what you heard here on the Conservation Spotlight, be sure to tune in next month to KMUZ at 100.7 or 88.5 FM, the third Wednesdays during Willamette Wake Up. Thanks for listening.